Oh, Eli, do you want to say it real quick? As we were worshipping, Eli got this little word from God. Okay, quickly say it.
When I'm worshipping, I just lose my breath and I feel like I'm just drowning in the love of God.
Okay. That's what it is. When we worship Him, we want to be so overwhelmed by the love of God. It's awesome. Okay, before we go, kids, I've got my friends here, Ryan and Annabelle. Now, when I first came to the mountain, how old were you, Ryan? 13? 13, 14. Ryan was a tall, skinny man. He's still a tall, skinny young man. Now he's a tall, skinny man, right? And I watched Ryan. Ryan was in my youth group, faithful, consistent, and quiet guy, right? It was like we couldn't get much out of him. And then we went on our first missions trip to Ecuador. And when we went to Ecuador, I believe, was that where you really felt like God birthed that in your heart for missions? Big part of it? Yeah, so we went to Ecuador and we went down to the kind of the forest place where Jim Elliot, where they were at down there, okay? And there was a MAF base there, and so Ryan got to get on the aeroplane with the MAF guys. Nobody else got to do this, right? Ryan got the special treatment and got to go out with MAF, and he's going to come and explain. Are you both coming or just you? Both come. Awesome. And I want them to share for 5 minutes. And then next Friday, Sunday night, we've got a special thing going on, and I'll explain this when they're done. So this is Ryan Coa, Ryan and Annabelle, my friend, and super excited for the next step of their life.
Thanks, Rory. Yeah, so my name is Ryan Coa. This is my wife, Annabelle, as Rory said. This is our son, Elias. He's 8 weeks old, almost a month old. 2 months. Oh, sorry, 2 months. And so I'm a pilot mechanic with Mission Aviation Fellowship, and my wife and I, we're going to be serving in the country of Mozambique in southern Africa. Yeah, so like Rory said, I've known him for 13 or 14 years now, and he was my youth pastor, and he was on the missions trip where I felt the big confirming that this is what God wanted me to do with my life. So he graciously allowed us to share with you this morning. So I'm just going to share a little bit about our ministry. So imagine for a minute that you're a missionary and you're in Africa and you're trying to reach a remote village. So you start your drive from the closest major town, but the roads are horrendous and flooded. It's been raining steadily, but you keep pressing on. So as you attempt to ford a river, the car gets stuck. It just won't go any further. Now, when that happens, you can't get out of the vehicle because... Well, first of all, you can't shut down the vehicle, otherwise the engine will flood. And you can't get out of the vehicle because the river is filled with crocodiles. So travel such as this is risky, but these are the risks that many missionaries take to reach isolated villages with the gospel. And this is where Mission Aviation Fellowship comes in, with a desire to share the love of Jesus Christ with isolated people so that they may be physically and spiritually transformed. Mission Aviation Fellowship was formed in 1945 and has continued work in aviation and technology solutions for the past 70 years. We're now operating in 17 countries around the world, including Mozambique, where we'll be serving. So Mozambique was a Portuguese colony that endured 30 years of war, which ended in 1992. This left Mozambique with a devastated economy and infrastructure. And MAF first established a program there in 1999.
So the scenario that Ryan began with is an example from a village called Mikayuni in Mozambique, a village that was difficult for missionaries to access in the dry season, but even more precarious in the wet season. The travel time could take anywhere from 9 to 15 hours to go a 35-mile stretch. In 2017, a couple of Bible translators were going to have to abandon the work that they were doing in Mikayuni unless an airstrip was built in the village. When the Bible translators brought an MAF pilot to the village, the local leaders directed them to an abandoned airstrip that hadn't been used since Mozambique's independence, around 50 years ago. Mikayuni's airstrip had been overgrown, but the local leaders had ensured that nobody built houses on it in hopes that someday they'd have access to other towns. The airstrip was completed in January 2018, which now makes that 9 to 15 hour trek just a 20-minute flight. Throughout Mozambique, MAF also provides flights for national and expat missionaries, medical missionaries into the game reserves, and emergency medical flights from remote villages.
So we're looking forward to serving with MAF and living our lives as a demonstration of God's love to the people of Mozambique. We wouldn't be able to share this love if we hadn't first experienced it ourselves. As it says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So my walk with the Lord began at an early age. I felt God calling me to missions after a mission trip to Ecuador with Pastor Rory, where I flew on two MAF flights and saw firsthand the impact MAF had on isolated people. In response, I completed the necessary pilot and mechanic training and worked in aviation over the next several years.
My walk with the Lord also began at an early age. During a mission trip to India, God revealed to me a passion for global missions. I earned a degree in intercultural studies from California Baptist University, where I was able to deepen my understanding of cross-cultural communication and God's heart for the nations. Ryan and I met while we were working at Thousand Pines Christian Camp in 2014. Our hearts for serving God through missions attracted us to each other. We were married in August of 2016. From the start of our relationship, our focus was to join MAF. In Psalm 139:9, it says, "If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me." We hold on to this promise as we journey to Mozambique, knowing that God will be with us, guiding us through it all.
So we're currently in a season of building a support team, and I'd like to extend the opportunity to you to join our team. So we need individuals through God's leading will partner with our ministry through prayer and financial support. We also need special gifts to cover the cost of the final training, language school, and travel to the field. Any level of partnership as the Lord leads will help us get closer to our goal of attending the final training this fall. Actually, we'll leave this month, and the start of language school in January. We will then arrive in Mozambique in early 2021 after a year of language school. So we ask that you prayerfully seek God's direction for what part you can have in our ministry. And we would love to meet you at the service. We set up a display table in the back, and there you can sign up for our prayer letters and pick up a prayer card to put on your refrigerator. And you know, we'd just love to talk with you and have a conversation, learn more about what we're doing. And it's been a privilege to share with you guys today. Thanks, Pastor Rory.
Awesome. Now, also next Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Drews. Do you want to pass these back? They're having a little dessert fundraiser thingy that you can learn more about it. So let me pray for you guys. All right, so next Sunday, 6 p.m., you can find out more if you want to go. So, Father, we thank you for Ryan and Annabelle. God, I'm so grateful for this young man and the wife and the little baby they've got now, the family. Lord, from a young age, putting something on his heart to be involved in missions and pursuing that earnestly, God, as he's been faithful to pursue these things and you've added into his life. And so we ask over this next little bit, for the next year or so, as they train and prepare, God, you give them all that they need, pour into them, bless them, and we thank you for what you're doing. And the baby says, amen. And I'm done. Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Awesome. So they'll be in the back there next Sunday. You can find out more information. So we've got this one last song. Terry, we're going to do the song, Kids.
Myself, I didn't get saved until I was 50 years old. I knew that there was a God. I knew that I loved God. And I was deceived. I felt that because I was a child and I was born, that when we die, we go back to heaven. Until one day, a girl came to me when I was 50 years old, walking in complete hopelessness, with a suicidal spirit, as an alcoholic, and giving up completely on life. And she asked me, T, Terry, do you know Jesus? And I said, I know God. And she said again, do you know Jesus? Well, I guess I didn't because I couldn't answer the question. So she told me the message of the cross, that you must be born again, that you must be repented of sin to receive the gift of God, love and salvation. So that day I said the prayer with her, and the love of God just overtook me like liquid love. And from that time on, I have been passionate for Jesus. So our precious Jesus, our miracle-working God that came in love. So the message of love to me and to the world that we carry is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that they may not perish but have everlasting life. And my message today is, as an evangelist, is to equip you on how to teach the world his love and who we are. There's a gift of an evangelist that equips people, but we all know the greatest evangelist of all, and that is Jesus. He was our teacher. He was our representative to show us how to demonstrate love. And he gathered up his 12 disciples and said, follow me, follow me. And he showed them how to love a dying world. So we carry that same love. So what I want to tell you today is, I was going to go to a lot of different scripture here. But we all know most of the scripture that God so came into the world. But the world doesn't know Jesus, and they don't know the Holy Spirit. They know God the Father, but they don't know Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And if we don't tell them the truth, they're going to remain blind and deceived. And there's so many out there hurting, and in a little while I'll give you some examples of that. So I want to go to one scripture right here. So just give me a minute to find it. Jesus went about into the city and the villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He healed every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Compassion. That's our compassion. That's our love that they don't know. They're hurting. The compassion. Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and that is us. We are believers. So we are disciples. So in that, he said, the harvest is truly plentiful, and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the world. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over all the unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all the sick, and all kinds of diseases. So Jesus is telling us that the fields are ripe, but the laborers are few, and that we are to pray for laborers. Well, we are the laborers, and we're coming into one of the greatest awakenings there is on earth, and that we are Jesus' bride, and we're to go out into the world and be a laborer. And it's like, what does that look like for me? For me, it comes easy. I could talk for hours. But to others, it's not so easy. It's, oh no, that person in the grocery store, I see they're hurting, but I can't go over there and talk to them about Jesus. It's like, but we're called to, because if we don't go and tell them the truth, who will? So we're salt and light of the world. And I'm going to give you an example here. I'm going to turn off this light. Here, where's a little bit? There we are. Here we are at home. Here we are in church. And we're receiving the love of God. But when we go out into the world, this is turned off because we're afraid to tell the world about the greatest gift ever, Jesus. So we're to go out as lights, because you don't put a basket over a light. He says, go out and shine. Shine in the world. Your light's bright. So our light is wherever it would be, wherever you work in the workplace. There's always someone there that is hidden in their heart that's hurting. Maybe their baby died. Maybe their husband left them. Or maybe they're in the bathroom at the workplace and doing drugs in the bathroom. But they are everywhere. And unless, I asked Brenda the other day, and I'll tell you the story of what happened when we went out. Anyway, I asked Brenda, I said, when you're out shopping or you're out going about, do you have an awareness of the Holy Spirit? And she said, I do. Well, the same Spirit that raised Jesus, precious Jesus, from the dead is in you. And if that same Spirit is in you, then that same power that raised Jesus from the dead can do all things. I believe in miracles. I believe that if we could get rid of our doubt and our unbelief, that we would really see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that does raise the dead, that does heal diseases, that the sick get well, we lay hands on them because it's a supernatural power. In fact, with the disciples, the supernatural power that they were walking in by the Holy Spirit was so natural to them that the flesh, the natural, wasn't natural, that the supernatural. So we can go out into a world with that supernatural power, the same that the disciples have, and sit with somebody that's hurting and speak to them and ask them, would you like prayer? And tell them who you serve and why. And there's so many different ways of evangelism and equipping the people. It's going out and first having an awareness that God is in you. God is in you. It's not you. It's the love of Christ we're to go out into the world and give away. And Jesus, being the evangelist that he was, we're coming close to the last days. And he said he pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And that we're the lights in the world. So wherever you go, wherever you sit, you're still a light. It may not be comfortable, but you're still that light. Anyway, so I'm going to give you a couple examples of how I have witnessed to people. Just the other day, a young man called, credit card guy, wants to tell me how he can get my interest down on my credit card. So I'm like, okay, well, I could hang up on this guy and tell him I don't need this and quit calling me. But I'm like, Holy Spirit, how can I take advantage of this? So I asked him where he was from. And he said, I'm from the Philippines. And he goes, but I'm in the United States now. I'm in Florida. Oh, I go, oh, my friend's in Florida. She had lived in the Philippines. Her name's Patricia. I said, oh, the culture of the Philippines are just wonderful. I said, I used to go over and be able to eat with her, and, oh, it was just wonderful. And I asked him how he was doing. He said, well, I just got here to Florida, and it's new to me. And I said, well, how's your relationship with God? Just like that. And he goes, oh, he got all excited. And he says, I sing in the choir. And I go, yay, psalms and praise, hallelujah. And I go, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I says, there's so much more out there. He said, there is? And I said, yes, there's more than the baptism of repentance. I said, there's more. And then I told him the story on how the disciples, the John the Baptist came and he was baptizing him in the River Jordan and this and that. But they said, how to wait on the Holy Spirit. And he would come when Jesus left. There's so much more. He says, well, how is that? And I said, well, if you'll go, and I gave him the scripture references to go, to show him that the helper would come, he said, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? And I could feel the excitement right through the phone. And I said, Kenny, yes, I'll pray for you. And he says, oh, good. Well, then I had another opportunity over the phone to do it again, only this one, it was John 3:16, and talking about God's love and being born again. And I used the example of Nicodemus. That one always works. Nicodemus says, how can you go back in your mother's womb again? But you must be born of spirit and water. That was the first baptism of repentance. But then I also told him, once you're born again, there's so much more. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, and it says to be filled. So we don't put our lamp on a lampstand, or we don't put a bushel over the lamp, or salt of the world. So examples would be, is we all stay together in church, and we all talk amongst each other. But good, in the beginning, when I went around to the different churches, and I didn't know God very well, and I didn't even know how to read my Bible, and it was like, nobody will look at me, nobody will talk to me, and I felt very uncomfortable in church. I didn't feel welcomed, I didn't feel loved, and I pursued that. I kept going to different churches until the Lord led me to the one that I was supposed to be at. And so in today's world, we have many out there that are even in the churches that are not looking up. The Lord gave me a vision when I first got saved, and it was a long time ago. This was a long, long time ago. But there was an island, and the ocean was all the way around, and the church was on the island, and they were having like little tea parties and standing amongst each other and talking, but they weren't looking out into the ocean. And out in the ocean, there was people with their hands on the water like, hey, I'm out here, look at me, look at me. And in the vision, we wouldn't even throw them a lifesaver. They were drowning. Well, that's what's happening with the world out there right now. You know, God said, so love the world. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. So how do we do that? Well, we love the ones that are hard to love. We go out there and we make relationships with non-believers. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. Because you're to share that love that you got. Now, in the marketplace, there's like, Brenda, do you mind if I share you and I the other day? The other day, last Thursday, Brenda and I were at Target, and I'm going to go over and look at the women's clothes while she's buying the needs that she needs for her house. And I'm like, Lord, is there anybody in here that you want to speak to? It's simple. Is there anybody you want to give a word of knowledge to or wisdom? Is there anybody hurting in this store? Because I know this is a dying world. And it was just quiet. It was like I'm walking around. I walked around for about 15 minutes, and I was like, oh, okay. Nothing's going on. And then I come around a corner, and there's two girls. And the one girl had her purse wide open. And I looked at her, and I said, your purse is wide open. I said, do you know somebody can just reach in there and take your cell phone or your wallet? She goes, oh, yeah. She says, but it makes it easy for me to reach my cell phone. Well, that opened up the conversation. But I didn't know where it was going to go until the Holy Spirit took over. But it opened up a door. And I felt on the inside, oh my gosh, this girl's hurting. This girl is hurting. I don't know why, but I just knew. It was a knowing. So I looked at her. I says, can I talk to you two girls for a minute? And they said, sure. So I gave a short testimony that, well, you know, once I was pretty wild. I said, I'm not going to tell you how wild, but I was pretty wild. And I could tell they were interested, and I told them how bad I was hurting. So I gave them a short testimony of who I was before I was in Christ. I said, can I tell you more? And they said, yeah. I says, can I tell you about Jesus? And they said, yeah. So I stood there at least 45 minutes talking to two girls about Jesus, about the cross, his love, repentance. Because when you're witnessing, you need to let them know it's not just receiving Jesus, but there's a repentance from the heart that goes along with that, that their sin, we're all sinners. So I use that as an example as I was talking about Jesus, and I used the little cliche. I said, have you ever told a lie? And the one girl goes, of course I have. And then I looked at the other girl, and I said, did you ever steal anything? And she says, yeah. And actually, I think, after talking to Brenda, I think that's exactly what they were doing. Anyway, so I pointed out to them the need for repentance and believing in Jesus. And I could tell the one girl was like, she was really absorbing like a sponge. So I said, I took another chance. I didn't leave them just hanging there. I said, you know, you could be saved right here in this store. I said, it's as simple as your heart turning to Jesus and asking him into your life. And she said, I want that. I want that. So I stood there and I said the sinner's prayer for her to be born again right there in Target. And she says, this is an uncomfortable feeling, but. And then I looked to the other girl and I says, would you like to say the same prayer? And she asked me a question. She said, well, what if I do this and I sin again? That was her question. What if I do this and I sin again? And I said, well, Jesus came for the forgiveness of your sins. But once you receive his love, and then I used the onion, I says, all the shame, all the guilt, all starts to come off as he starts to teach you his love. And she said, okay, maybe later. She wasn't ready. Brenda, will you tell everybody how you felt after I called you?
Nothing like being in Target doing your family shopping and getting a phone call from your mom who's disappeared for the last hour and saying, Brenda, where are you? I have a friend I want to introduce you to. Oh, brother, what is she doing now? That was my first thought, honestly. I had to repent. Anyway, she comes over excitedly bringing me her newfound friend. I had no idea what to expect. And brings me this young lady, and I had no idea what mom's
conversation was.
Yeah, I didn't know what her conversation was, what her agenda was, what her purpose was. But she brought her over, and she walked up and she said, Guess what? She just received Jesus. And so then I knew, oh, this is a celebration. Wow. So, of course, I got excited with mom and with the young lady. And then mom took it another step and began to explain in her conversation how this young lady and I were connected. She also had a son with autism. And that led into another conversation to be able to kind of speak into her life. And the best way I can describe it, I'm a visual person, so maybe you barbecuers might get this picture. But it's like going out with mom. Mom catches the fish. Mom marinates the fish. She gets them all seasoned up and ready to go. And then she comes over. Here you go. Throw them on the grill. And it's awesome because, you know, I had no intention of, you know, a celebration in the middle of the Target aisle. I had no intention. I was willing. But it was exciting to see the fruit of what mom had just sown into this young lady and to be able to allow God to use me as well into the situation. You know, he does say he'll send us out two by two. And so it was an awesome experience, and we got to not just get the you know, not just lead her through a prayer. Mom pointed her in a direction of a church. Mom talked to her about discipleship, got to sow into some areas where she was really struggling and kind of build her up and encourage her and seal some things in the spirit, and also got to offer some practical assistance as well. There was some real life needs that she was having in that moment, and to be able to say, I think I can help you. So anyway, it was awesome. Thanks, Mom.
So this young girl, when she started to open up even more to Brenda, explained that she was living with her father, with her autistic son, and this is when, like I said, when she started to reveal how her heart was. And her father was a drug addict because she was finding needles in the bathroom, and she said, I didn't want my son to be around anything like that, and my father threw me out. She said, with my autistic son, I have been on the streets of San Bernardino for 2 weeks living in my truck. And the friend that she had with her had opened up her garage to her. So today, she said she's living in a garage with this friend with cockroaches and nothing. So the next step was in this is the gift of love was Brenda said, well, I have a trundle bed that we're not using. If you have a way to get up on the mountain, well, we have a gift for you. So she may be coming up here on the mountain to receive her gift. So one plants, another one waters, and God brings the increase. But the point is each and every one of us, there are people on every corner, in every store, in the workplace, and some look like they're doing just fine in their jobs and business-like, but they are broken people. So the most important thing is being led by the Holy Spirit. And that quiet listening of knowing there's somebody there. Do you want me to talk to them? And having the heart to go and speak to them, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And the rewards are the joy of that girl's salvation was the greatest joy of all. So they tell me I have to tie this up. But I wanted to talk to you so much more about the Holy Spirit. Because there's more than just the born-again experience of salvation. He says, I'll send the help, Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're living in the days of what we call Pentecost. And in that, that's the power of God, of the Holy Spirit in you to witness and go to all the world. All the world. So ask God, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me? Holy Spirit, would you come and do a work in me? Because he's willing. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with tongues. That in itself is powerful. You know, the world would say, that's the devil. But the Lord says, I'm not going to give you a stone if you ask for bread, or I'm not going to give you a serpent if you ask for fish. It is the empowering of the supernatural power of God to go out into this world. And what our lives are about is being empowered by God to go out into a dying world. He's the doctor, he's the physician, but we are the nurses to go out into that darkness and tell the world so they can be saved. Got to sew it up, folks. So if you need any prayer, come on up and we'll just pray you in or pray you for the Holy Spirit or whatever your need would be. Love y'all.